Chapter 2. The Fall of the House of Adrin. There were so many parties. Aranan Armadon Adrin would not have minded that, but they were so rarely just parties. The lengthy run of salvation was approaching. Over the next 3 months, between their grinding work shifts, the Kievarans would be forced to celebrate Uprising Eve, Atomic Day, Saviour's Day, Compliance Night, and the renewal of the oath. A lot of business was conducted at receptions in between. Aranan had far too many such events to attend. The last party he was ever to attend was held at the Museo Kievar, a prestigious setting for any event, and a subtle thumbing of the nose at the planet's new Mechanicum masters. Kievaran politics were all so petty, Aranan thought. He lurked at the edge of things, deliberately avoiding eye contact and watching the tech guilders attempt to make small talk with their half-human masters. Two things kept them from success. Firstly, the Mechanicum's tech priests were not given to small talk. Secondly, every guilder face in the room burned with resentment behind their forced smiles. Still, the attendees persisted with speaking to each other, neither side understanding the other, but united briefly in the slow, ritual torture of official socializing. The Kievarans were unctuous and insincere. The Mechanicum priests, bizarre cyborgs whose cowls hid mines of diodes and wire, could not help but be calculating. It was not a happy mix. The function paraded Kievar's dysfunction for all to see. "What a disaster," Aranan said to himself. He swirled his wine around in his glass and watched the tiny vortex. The drink was weak and insipidly warm. A familiar voice nearby had him lift his head. There was Ev-10, not 4 meters away, one of the few men close to his own age at the function. Ev-10 had been a wild thing, a legend on the social circuit when Aranan was taking his first faltering steps out from behind his mother's protection. In truth, Ev had been one of his cousin's friends, not his. They'd never been close, but Aranan made for him with relief shining from every pore. "Ev!" he called. "Ev!" There was no recognition. Ev didn't look in his direction. "Ev!" he called again, waving like a fool. He attempted to shove his way past a Mechanicum acolyte, the shape of an oven draped in a red robe. Foolishly, he expected giving flesh, and banged his elbow painfully on the metal beneath the cloth. "It's me! Aranan Armadon Adrin! Jempen's cousin?" Ev turned from his conversational partner, their dialogue broken by the silent mutual accord of socialites uninterested in one another. Darting eyes judged, each man silently trying to convince the other that it was he who was the boring one.
"Ah, yes, I remember. Little 3A, all grown up," said Ev as he turned to face Aranan.
Aranan hated the nickname. It was a number, reducing him to the status of a thing. Ev had always been cruel. He should have turned away, but there was no one else he shared a connection with.
"How are you? Didn't you inherit your father's office last summer?"
"Don't remind me about it," said Aranan.
"Well, how are things, eh? 3A? They don't sound so good."
Ev placed a comforting hand on his arm. Aranan was too much a Kievaran to take the gesture at face value. There was intrigue in every twitch of a guilder's body. But he was pathetically grateful all the same.
"Awful," he said. "Just awful."
He meant it.
"I see," said Ev.
He made a sympathetic face.
"Bored, eh? You'll get used to it."
"Will I? Look at all this."
"Surely," he said, "the Mechanicum can see hosting the annual contract exchange in a museum dedicated to the tech guilds is nothing but a protest at their presence." Ev-10 kept the smile Aranan remembered, though the eyes that glinted above it had bled out their lust for life and been refilled with a bureaucrat's coldness.
"My dear fellow, the Mechanicum let the tech guilds hold the reception here. They could stop us. They don't. They're letting us know they see the insult and they don't care. They are telling us that whatever we do is pointless. They have all the power now.
Aranan had little power himself. Already Ev was looking about the room for a route of escape.
They still don't have all our secrets, said Aranan,
hating the wheedling tone in his voice.
Well, that's the only thing that's keeping any of us alive,
said Ev from the side of his mouth. Aranan looked sour.
It's ridiculous. The Emperor speaks of enlightenment and the end to superstition, and he sets this coterie of priests over us. We might not have the wisdom of the ancients, but we're scientists, not witch doctors like they are.
Careful, Aranan, that's treasonous.
Evten smiled at a pretty woman, alight with pulsing subdermal implants, and swept a glass from her tray. A little of the old Ev was present in that smile, encouraging Aranan. But the light vanished from Ev's face as soon as the woman turned away, and Aranan's heart fell.
You've changed, Ev.
Ed's expression indicated something that was not quite agreement, but nor was it disagreement. Aranan was overplaying his hand.
You'll change too, Aranan. Politics will crush the life right out of you.
Ev-10 gripped Aranan's shoulder firmly and dropped his voice. Sincerity made a brief appearance behind his shell of confidence.
Be thankful you had a good run outside all this. You've your guild's honour to think of now, rather than your own pleasure.
Aranan scowled.
Chin up now, 3A. It's been great to see you. I must be going.
He uncurled a finger from his glass and pointed across the room.
I see that the Haslian representative is alone. I intend to get him drunk and harass him into signing a favourable trade deal with my house. If you'll excuse me, I don't get a crack at off-world as often. I have to seize the opportunity when I can.
You should too.
Ev left with a small wave, weaving his way through the red-robed cyborgs and glittering guildmasters like a man born to brokering. Aranan sulked. It wasn't long until he was wishing he'd taken Ev's advice and attempted to perform his role, for his introspection was shattered by Devon Tur. The Tur Kir Tech Guild had been trying to buy into his father's interest in whisper cutter manufacture for years. With his father dead, it was Aranan's duty to put Tur off. He'd never liked the man. Aranan lacked the guile to extricate himself from Tur's company, though to his credit, he was too stubborn to be browbeaten. As the conversation droned on and on, he kept one eye on the hostesses serving his drinks, and the other on the museum chronograph. For Devon Tur, he spared hardly a glance. He resented the chronograph like he resented Tur. It had a face as big as the moon of Lysias, covered over in fussy calligraphy and painting, which the stylists called naive, but which to Aranan looked like the work of a child. It was thousands of years old, so they said. He didn't care a jot. It glowered down at him, ticking off the seconds of his life, chiding him for spending them so poorly. Of course, the clock showed old Kievaran time. Seeing as the old measure had been supplanted by imperial reckoning, its display was another snub to the Mechanicum. As far as Aranan was concerned, its judgmental air outweighed its worth as a symbol of defiance. Had it been his decision, he would have smashed it with a hammer. Tur eventually got the message that Aranan wasn't going to sign away the family fortune, and left with demands for dinner and business talk at a later date. Aranan made some vague noises about asking his undersecretary to contact Tur's undersecretary, while vowing never to go near the man if he could help it. When Tur had gone, Aranan hid behind the buffet. After another excruciating hour, the first of the guests began to leave. Departure and arrival at this sort of thing were done in strict order of hierarchy. Now he could leave without causing a scene. Sighing with gratitude, Aranan made his excuses and summoned his gravcar to the front of the building. Slavery was one of the first Kievaran institutions to go. He'd had the education in the Skolems that said it had to be so. He'd also had a different education at home that said the so-called saviour forced the guilds to capitulate by murdering 400,000 people with atomic charges. Grand sentiments laced the new constitution. Under the surface, nothing much had changed. Uniformed flunkies hovered within beckoning distance to indulge the guildmaster's every whim. As Aranen skulked out of the building, men and women appeared from hidden rooms to dust off his jacket and drape alien furs about his shoulders. The concierge imperiously held back the line of less rich citizens waiting to leave until Aranen had gone. Other servants smoothly took the place of the cloakroom attendants to lead him to his jet-black limousine. The car was staggeringly expensive, powered by the same engines that lifted the whisper cutters. Any impeller array that could carry 10 fully armoured Legionis Astartes in a reasonable approximation of flight had no trouble lifting a ground car a metre off the ground, even one so large and richly appointed as Aranan's. Aranen threw himself gracelessly into the back and flicked a coin at the valet. The man attempted to say something. Aranen pointedly wound up the window to cut his words dead. Sealed in a private world of luxury, he felt somewhat better.
"Did you have a pleasant evening, sir?"
His driver's voice was a little off. Aranen put it down to a cold.
"No, Rasputkiev, I did not," he said to the tinted glassite, screening off the driver's compartment.
The man's mitre cap was visible as a smoky shape on the far side. Hands moved on the steering wheel. Aranen knew little of his chauffeur beyond this shadow play, and yet he often confided in him. The screen offered a form of anonymity, like the confessional in a cathedral.
"When I was younger, I used to have so much fun." "Not any more," Aranen said.
"No fun for me." He tapped the window to emphasize his words. Fun was before his father had died, leaving him at the tender age of 29 to the mercy of post-compliance politics.
"I remember when a party was a party," Aranen said. "A time to drink and dance and chase the daughters of the other tech houses. Now what do I get? Endless supplication to the Mechanicum. That's what all these receptions and pre-theatre events with their mean glasses of warm wine and tiny little canapes are," he growled to himself. "I don't remember the last time I had a meal I had to cut up. I don't even dare pick up the girls. They're all spies."
He threw his hand across the seat backrest and slumped. The vehicle had the capacity to carry 8 people in extreme comfort. These days it was always just Aranen. With angry eyes, he watched the yellow sodium glare of streetlights slide over the metal of his car, smooth as machine oil. Away from the cultural district, the ugly utilitarian style of Kievar asserted itself, depressing him further.
"I wasn't made for this. I wasn't made for business. Let the damn Mechanicum have it all, I say."
"You say so, sir," said Kiev.
Aranen grunted. He leaned forward and plucked a bottle of life water from an inbuilt cooler. It was always a new, sealed bottle, no matter how little of it he had drunk the last time, and he always drank at least some. The measure left in the bottles diminished with each reception he attended. If he kept on, soon he would need 2. The clink of ice into the glass raised his mood. The cool burn of alcohol in his throat raised it further. He said no more to his driver, content to drink and watch the dreary cityscapes of Kievar go by. There were perks to being a guilder. His car thrummed down the smooth surfaces of priority traffic lanes, past lines of boxy surf cars conveying the workforce to and from their manufactoria. Giant haulers chugged down the wide cargo way, dividing public and private lanes, their enormous wheels supporting building-sized trailers. Atop the massive tractor units to the front were tiny pilot blisters housing servitors. The power of their engines set up a brief musical thrumming in the windows of Aranan's limo as he sped past each one. He let his gaze follow the logos on a trailer. Under hazy lighting, the red brand mark was a smear. Its paint faded away. It didn't matter any longer who made what on Kievar. It all belonged to the Mechanicum. The car peeled off the main expressway into a district of identical storage houses. Criss-crossing multi-level pathways crawled with lines of servitor machines fetching and carrying boxes. They were going the wrong way. Aranan sat forward, slopping out a splash of his drink.
"What are you doing, Keeve?"
he said.
"Where are we going?"
"There's an overturned hauler further down the Renta City Highway. This avoids the site of the accident."
Aranan nodded. Plausible, but he was unconvinced, and his concern grew to fear as the limousine turned into a side street and coasted to a slow stop. The shadow of Rasbuk Keeve opened the driver's door. Guilders were no longer permitted to carry arms themselves, but they all did. Aranan pressed a micro-stud on his jacket button. A hidden drawer popped out of the limousine fittings. Aranan blinked at the empty space where his las pistol should have been. Oil-tainted air hissed into the car interior. Rasbuk Keeve stood by the open passenger door. Only it was not Rasbuk Keeve. Aranan squinted. The street was dark, the driver's face masked by shadow.
"Who by the void are you?"
he said. But he knew. He could tell what this impostor was about to do. More than the fact that he was there, more than the slender needle pistol in his gloved hand, it was his eyes, the only feature he could see glinting in the dark. They were flat, hard, devoid of emotion.
"You're going to kill me."
Aranan meant to say the words, but they were trapped in his brain. They were too awful for his mouth to let out.
"Listen to you whine, you parasite."
The driver reached up to his neck and deactivated a voice modulator. Keeve's voice was replaced by a woman's. Aranan dumbly noted the detail.
"You have never done a day's work in your life," she said. "Every pleasure is yours, and yet still you complain. We should have wiped you out when we had the chance. It is time to finish the job."
The smooth silver barrel of the needler came up. The aperture at its front looked too small to be dangerous. It was Aranan's final thought.
"Corvus Corax bids you farewell," said the woman,
and shot Aranan Armadon Adrin through the heart. Felinia Eft stared hate at the corpse sprawled across the seat. A pinprick of blood welled from the tiny wound. That aside, Adrin could have been sleeping. She cast off the stolen uniform, tossing it onto the body of the driver crammed into the passenger footwell in the front. Underneath, she had a tight bodysuit that she covered over with the worker's clothes.
"Target eliminated,"
she said into a vox dot at her wrist. Her words were scrambled and ciphered before being cast out to her masters. She threw an incendiary device into the back of the car. The thumb-sized bomb bounced on the seat and lost itself under Adrin. Despite the grenade's seeming inconsequentiality, the tiny amount of Phosphex gel it contained was more than enough to reduce the vehicle to slag. The car was already burning as she vanished into the night, dodging through the army of servitors loading and unloading the storage towers. Alarms wailed down the metal canyons. By then she was long gone.